will help us to commence this evening by singing hymn number 18. Hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
June 3, 26.
Now to the Lord.
let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 102, the 102nd Psalm. Psalm 102, the title being A Prayer of the Afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servant shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Almighty Lord God, look down from the height of thy sanctuary in heaven above, thy dwelling place, and look down and behold a little company gathered together here tonight, who have met together in thy name to worship thee, to sing thy worthy praises, to read thy holy word, to seek thy face in prayer, and oh, to hear the gospel, those glad tidings of great joy, to hear the word of God. Oh, for a heart to receive the word of God, to understand the word of God, to be graciously affected by the word of God. Oh Lord, compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. So we would be thankful for this privilege of enabling us to come tonight, those of us here present, granted that measure of health and strength, journeying mercies. And we pray for those also who listen in from their homes, perhaps some who would be here if they could. Any away at this time, any caught up in employment, any at home with the little ones, the children, any laid aside in affliction and sickness, Lord, remember such. But now are we all here gathered before thee. Come, Lord, and make one in our midst. Lord, what is our service without thee? We beseech thee, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost. May we be found in this word, and bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there be room not enough to receive it. So with the psalmist to prove, my cup overfloweth. Lord, it may be some have come tonight with an empty cup. They have come feeling destitute, poor, needy. But they come as beggars. They use entreaties. We read in thy word that the poor useth entreaties. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. O Lord, may we be found amongst the poor and needy who put their trust in thee, coming before thee with our entreaties, our petitions, our requests, our supplications. And O Lord, could it please thee to hear and to answer and to rend the heavens and to come down and grant, Lord, a blessing tonight. May there be some wrestling Jacobs, though in trouble, though in deep distress, though struggling so much, and yet, blessed that spirit of wrestling prayer, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. O Lord, may there be the Syrophoenician. Lord, help me. And we remember with her case at first, he answered her not a word. Oh, what a sore trial to all thy praying poor. The Lord silence. Did not the psalmist also know it? Be not silent to me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like them that go down into the pit. But speak, Lord. O cause thy glorious voice to be heard. It is the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh. Come, Lord Jesus. Come this night. Come and speak unto thy people. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O that thy voice might be heard. For thy sheep hear thy voice. Oh, to be one of thy sheep, under the care of the good shepherd, under the eye of the good shepherd, under the keeping of the good shepherd, under the protection of the good shepherd, under the provision of the good shepherd. Lord, grant us to know the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So, Lord, we depend upon thee. Remember those in soul trouble, so troubled concerning their never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. So troubled, am I his or am I not? Is my religion real? Is it of God? Oh, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name and rejoice in thee. Remember those seeking thee, in humble hopes of finding thee. But, O at present, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Lord, grant grace for that soul to continue seeking. That promise, seek and ye shall find. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Still pray. For God will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Should there be found any here unconcerned, indifferent, satisfied with a form of religion, an outward show, a name to live, O Lord, do have mercy, call them by thy grace, show them themselves lost, ruined, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, teach them their need of Christ to save them from all of their sins. Remember such, Lord, oh, in the narrow way. But the way is hard, the way is trying, faith is so weak, enemies so lively, so strong, so powerful. It may be wave after wave, trouble upon trouble, one thing after another. Then with a psalmist, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Who is a God like unto thee, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us? All those in providential need tonight, maybe those needs are hidden from man, or there may be souls here tonight struggling, souls overwhelmed, souls disappointed, souls in great fear, souls who wonder where the scene will end, wonder why these things must be. Lord, remember each and every one and sanctify every distress. And do cause all things to work together for good. So, Lord, we would remember each one from the youngest to the eldest. Attend to every case, supply every need, and bless each soul. May there be a portion for seven.
and also for eight. Lord, remember that eight soul who feels to be out of a secret, tempted to fear that they are not thine, that they never will find grace in thy sight. That eight soul who feel to be sinking in the mire, like Jeremiah of old, who fear that there is no hope. Oh, may they also prove against hope to believe in hope, in the God of hope. Hope thou in God. I hope in thy word, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and fadeth not away. O Lord, do remember us then, we pray, and do come and make the place of thy feet glorious. O may thy presence truly be known and felt, and may something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Particularly at this time of year, we remember the Holy Child Jesus, who came down to earth from heaven, who is Lord of all, and yet born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem thy people under the law, who came to save his people from their sins, who came to suffer, to bleed, to die, to lay down his life a ransom for many, to bear the sins of every child of God, who would lay down his life, who also would take his life again, a glorious resurrection, and now ascended back into heaven, this same Jesus, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, who is a God like unto thee? Lord, do preserve us in the ways of the world. Oh, may we show the world how true Christians live in glorifying God with those shepherds, with those wise men, to worship him, Lord of all. Oh, make it a sacred season to our souls. May there be that revelation of the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Oh, to be guided by the Spirit to him and to behold him. Oh, to know we love him because he first loved us. Dear Lord Jesus, do come and bless us, we pray. Lord, remember this cause of truth and bless them here, even with the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Prosper thy word. Lord, bless the church, help the officers of the church. Remember each one in the congregation. Remember the little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life. And bless them with thy holy fear. And grant them to know the true meaning of Christmas. Remember parents also and grandparents. We pray for all in the midst of life, and many burdens and cares, and those in more senior years, as the mud-walled cottage begins to shake, are coming down. May it be a ripening for glory. Help our servants and minister here from time to time. Bless the preaching of the gospel. Remember Zion. Look upon Zion. Oh, have mercy, Lord, we pray. Return with mercies unto Zion. Remember all thy people, the suffering church of God in all nations, those who were persecuted, those who were threatened and attacked, denied and deprived, those who suffer much. Lord, undertake for them. And, O Lord, we bless the distribution of thy faithful word. And may we prove that it shall not return unto thee void. We do thank thee, O Lord, for thy word. O, this precious word of God, holy scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation. Oh, that we might be made wise unto salvation, and not be left to neglect so great salvation. We would be thankful for every blessing, every favour, all thy goodness, all thy kindness, the supply of our every need. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for, to praise and bless thy name, whose favours are so divine. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all these things, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1080. Hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
Tune 364. To Jesus, our
sweet theme of every
Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm, verse 126. Psalm 119, verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. It is time. We read of God from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Everlasting when there was no time, and everlasting where there will be no time. But during the time of this earth, there are times, there are seasons. So there was a time when God created heaven and earth and all that therein is. And throughout the time set by God, this earth shall be maintained. But there will be a time, the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when this earth shall perish and be no more. We read of a new heaven and a new earth for eternity, but time will be no more. As we live our lives, time affects us continually. There was a time that we were born. There will be a time when we shall die. And all the times and the seasons of our lives, may it be our mercy to know a time when we were born again. That new birth, that second birth. Emphatic are the words of the Lord Jesus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is no alternative. There must be that heavenly birth. There must be that spiritual birth. For one to have spiritual life, it's when the Holy Spirit enters in, the indwelling of the Spirit. It's when that new man of grace is formed. All that time. Many of the Lord's people cannot pinpoint the time, but it's the evidences. As no babe knows the time that they were born, but the evidences are in the life. That cry, that appetite, that need, all those evidences of life, those movements, and gradually getting stronger and stronger, gradually developing, gradually knowing more and more, so it is spiritually. Or from that time of the new birth is when God begins to work, that work of grace in the soul. That quickening by the Holy Spirit, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. A time when men began to pray. A time when the Lord's people begin to truly pray. I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? Do the wishes, not carnal, but spiritual wishes of my heart, go with the things I say? A time when that soul is taught by the Holy Spirit to truly pray, to cry unto the Lord. A time when that soul begins to understand what it is to be a sinner. Because anyone can say that they are a sinner. The words are easy to be said, but oh, to feel deep in the heart a guilty sinner before an holy God, a guilty sinner deserving the punishment of their sins, a guilty sinner deserving eternal death, eternity in hell. Oh, it is time to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. A time to turn from the wicked ways. A time to turn to the Lord's ways. A time to strive to enter in at the strait gate. To be found in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. A time to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. A time to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A time to fill our need of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps all of us here have known the name of the Lord Jesus from our earliest days. But what think ye of Christ is a test? Oh, do we truly feel our need of him, that I may know him, not just know about him, not just to know of him, but to know him personally, savingly, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Shepherd, my Friend, my all in all. Oh, may I call thee mine. A time for the Lord Jesus to reveal himself unto his people, as he does. This my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. I'm sure many, if not all, have heard that true account. A minister in Scotland visiting some of his congregation, there was that young girl, she had that request, Minister, what shall I pray? He replied, pray, Lord, show me myself. And she did, from the heart, in sincerity and in truth, Lord, show me myself. I feel we need more of that prayer today. Lord, show me myself, the truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, when the Lord shows us ourselves, he will strip us of all our own self-righteousness. He will take away all our pretentious religion. He will take away all the traditions of men. The Lord will show us ourselves as guilty sinners. What a sight. A sight that will cause nigh on despair. A sight of which a soul will stand in horror and amazement, to understand something of the badness of the heart deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. That heart so corrupt, can ever God dwell here? Is this me, myself? Yes, this is the truth. This is the truth. Lord, show me myself. By the time the minister took his next visit, she was in absolute despair. For the Lord had heard and answered her prayer. He'd showed her herself, a lost sinner. And she was in such great distress of soul. It is time. Now pray this prayer. Lord, show me myself, thyself. Oh, show me thyself. And she did. She ventured to pray that prayer. And after a time, to use words here, after a time, the Lord was pleased to show her himself as her Saviour, as her Redeemer, as her Lord, as her God. And oh, what joy filled her heart, all sorrow taken away. That sight by faith of the Lord Jesus. You see, this is a work of grace. There was that question, I believe, the Jews put to the Lord Jesus, I believe in John chapter 6. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? They thought they could do something to work the works of God. They must learn that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created new creatures in Christ Jesus. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is a work which only God can do. This is a work, if you will, given to the Holy Spirit, the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he have sent. That ye believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or that each one of us here might be found a true believer, believing in him all from our very hearts. It's the work of God. It's that work of grace. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. There is that title of the book, and it speaks of the testimonies of the Lord's people in Haydock, Victorian England, when God works. I like that title. When God works, it makes all the difference. I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall hinder it? Who shall prevent it? Oh, when God works, but not one man, not one devil can prevent the almighty work of God. That grace of God is irresistible grace. It cannot be resisted. It is so powerful. Indeed, it is all powerful. The irresistible grace of God, as he draws his people unto himself, he calls them by his grace. Whether they be a Manasseh, a Mary Magdalene, a Saul of Tarsus, a mad Gadarene. Oh, when the Lord calls them by his grace, they shall come. They shall turn from their evil ways, and they shall turn unto the Lord. There will be that change of heart, that renewing of heart and of will. And now they begin to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord's mercy, to call upon him. There's that transformation of life when God works. Sadly, and we have it in the Acts of the Apostles in New Testament times, there were those who appeared to have been converted. There were those who appeared to have the grace of God. There were those who made out they were amongst the Lord's people. There were those who got into the churches, we read, unawares. They secretly got in, but they had no grace. They never endured unto the end. They made shipwreck of faith. They didn't continue. You see how vital it is to know that work of God in the work of grace in our hearts, that our religion is real. It is time for us to make our calling and thus our election sure. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, to work mightily in our hearts, to pull down those strongholds of Satan, to establish a kingdom of his grace in our hearts. When the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem upon the ass, the colt of an ass, there were many there singing forth his praises, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It is feared that the majority there were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for one to restore unto them the kingdom unto Israel. They wanted it once again, as it was in the days of David, in the days of Solomon, a great kingdom. They wanted such a king, such a ruler, to drive out the Romans, to establish their land. Ah, within a few days, those same people were saying, away with him, away with him. They were disappointed. They looked at the man. They saw not the Lord Jesus Christ. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight and so on. But my kingdom is not of this world. It's a kingdom of his grace. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. But with the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, really it's a fulfillment here of our text, is prophecy. When Christ came, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. In John 17, we read in his prayer unto his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. But there was a beginning. When he was born in Bethlehem, the time had come. That's really what led me to read Psalm 102. Precious words, and we long for them yet to be fulfilled in our days. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. The set time is come. And there was that set time when man fell in the Garden of Eden, sin entered in. But the Lord spoke that prophecy concerning the seed of the woman. It would bruise the serpent's head. I would just remind you of that word. I think it's in Peter, it may be in Timothy. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And that work of the devil was like the thief in John 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what Satan's been doing down through the ages of time. That thief, that robber from the very beginning. To rob the souls of man, to rob God from his glory. Man made in the image of God, Satan sought to destroy it all. Thinking there could be no recovery, no redemption for man. He would be utterly destroyed with himself, Satan. But that very prophecy, the very beginning there, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And we find in the flood God's wrath upon the ungodly. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. And by faith he built that ark, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, that refuge for sinners. Oh, that place for guilty sinners to find safety, salvation in Christ. And the Lord shut him in. Oh, to be shut into Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. And as he spoke to his son Isaac, going up the mount, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. It will be God's work. God will provide himself in the person of a Saviour, a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And throughout the Old Testament dispensation, as the Lord sent forth his prophets to prophesy, to speak the word of God, that time would come. A time that the godly were looking forward to. A time they believed in by faith, as they also beheld Christ and rejoiced in him. But all that time when Christ was born, first conceived, spoken to Mary and to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. That great mission of Christ, to glorify God. If he were to restore the kingdom unto God, the glory to God. Oh, to save his people from their sins. But how could it be done? Christ becoming a real man. And as he lived his life here upon this earth, he wrought out that robe of righteousness that he never ever sinned. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, his saints in him are perfect too. Oh, bless the Lord Jesus for that glorious robe of righteousness and to know it imputed. To be stripped of our own self-righteousness that we might be clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. Oh, that work. That work. But he came to suffer, to bleed, to die. Even in Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, bowing there to the will of God, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. That he was condemned to death by crucifixion, taken by wicked hands, crucified in weakness, we read. Made a curse for his people. Oh, suffered for the sins of his people, but shed his own heart's blood to make atonement for sin. He groaned, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Oh, in this work of salvation, that Christ would save his people. And that triumphant cry, ere he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, it is finished. It is finished. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight. The battle won. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. They have broken thy law. The law of God is good. It is perfect. There is no fault with the law. It is faultless. But as Moses came down the mount with those two tablets in his hands and the people already had destroyed themselves by sinning and he cast the two tablets to the ground and I believe they were smashed to smithereens. The law of God completely broken. But only the Lord Jesus could restore. Only the Lord Jesus could redeem. Only the Lord Jesus could recover. He came under that law that he might fulfill that law. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Oh, it's what the Lord Jesus has done. And the Holy Spirit teaches every child of God their need of Christ. He would teach them that they have broken the law of God. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy 10 commands. Guilty, guilty, guilty. A guilty sinner, a broken law, but all to see by faith a precious Saviour. And unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. This is a work of God, that ye might believe in him whom he has sent. To believe my Jesus hath done all things well. Our only hope, our only plea. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, to bring that soul to Jesus only. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way, the truth, and the life. No salvation but to be found in Christ Jesus. For we cannot save ourselves, we cannot redeem ourselves. All we can do is destroy ourselves. All we can do is sin against God. But it is time for thee, Lord, to work. To work that work of grace in bringing poor sinners unto Christ. And to save with an everlasting salvation. This word also presses upon me in this way. The Lord's dealings with his people, both in providence and in grace, how we need to be emptied from vessel to vessel, How we need to prove, without me, ye can do nothing. But then also I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, that dependence upon him. And as the children of Israel were literally dependent upon God, their whole wilderness journey, dependent upon him to guide them, dependent upon him to feed them, to protect them, to defend them, to help them, to undertake for them, to go before them. So it is spiritually, the Lord's people, dependent upon the Lord. Now, do we know that dependence? Or are we still independent? Do we still want our own way? Do we still want our own will? Are we still out to please ourselves? Or have we learned, or are we learning submission to the will of God? To be resigned to what the Lord sees best? To put our whole trust and dependence in him at all times? We're called, are we not, to run with patience the race that is set before us. And well might it be said, for ye have need of patience. The Lord's dealings with his people, remember, is a narrow way. There must be no leaning upon our own understanding. No going down to Egypt for help or counsel. There must be that trusting in the Lord at all times. And these things to flesh and blood are impossible. Impossible. But all things are possible with God. God dealeth with you as with children. And in those dealings, though so gracious and kind, yet there's need of chastening, there's need of correction, there's need of discipline, there's need of humbling. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. The work of God when God works. And how often the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brings his people to their end. I'm just thinking of Psalm 107. When they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. These are the people of God, but left to themselves for a time. They fell down and there was none to help. There may be one here tonight. In your pathway. Your circumstances. The things which are happening. The things which have come upon you. Causing you great distress, discomfort, sorrow, disappointment. Things you cannot understand why it must be. You're being brought down. You don't want to be brought down, but it's that mighty hand of God. And that mighty hand of God is a loving hand of God. A faithful hand of God. But it's a mighty hand of God, and you and I cannot resist it. We need to be humbled. We need to be brought down. They fell down. They were brought right down. And there was none to help. You may have turned to one. You may have turned to another. In hope. In trust. Anticipation. Expectation. But the end of it is that they cannot help. They cannot help. They fell down and there was none to help. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Just briefly, just think of Moses when he did go back to Egypt, went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh retorted in reply. And the officers of the children of Israel also turned against Moses. Almost representing the whole people of the children of Israel turned against Moses. For Moses, everything had gone wrong. He returned back to the Lord. He just couldn't understand. He couldn't understand this deep distress. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. It's all gone wrong. And there's none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and the Lord answered him, Now shalt thou see what I will do when God works. Perhaps that is what you need tonight. Now shalt thou see what I will do. When we speak of leaving everything in God's hands, we do not speak of being fatalistic, God forbid. We speak of being much in prayer, taking the kingdom of heaven by violence, and the violent take it by force. We speak of wrestling prayer. We speak of crying mightily unto the Lord. Or we speak of pleading with him. Not being fatalistic, not sitting back and expecting God to work in that carnal sense. For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. I will do them, but you must pray. You must truly pray. You must wrestle with me in prayer. You must be much in prayer. The Lord will have his people in prayer. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray, they live. You know, left to ourselves, even the most godly soul wouldn't pray. You may be amazed. But the carnal mind is so strong. The flesh is so powerful. Even the most godly soul left to themselves would not pray. But the Lord doesn't leave his people to themselves. He stirs them up. He has dealings with them. He sanctifies their distresses. Oh, he would have them in prayer, like Moses. Now, Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do. But you must still be much in prayer, and it's looking unto me. So run with patience the race that is set before you, for ye have need of patience by these things which have come upon you. Then they cried unto the Lord, where there was none to help. I just like to think of that, and I may have mentioned it in your hearing before. You just take away literally one letter from none to help, the letter N, and you have one to help. One who is able to help. You need God's help tonight. You need God to work on your behalf. There are none others who can help. All others have failed. All others have come short. And now you're under that temptation that not even God can help you. And it's a sore temptation. It's a powerful temptation to limit the Holy One of Israel, that we cannot see a way in which God can work. I just remind you of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel couldn't see a way in how God could work. They had no thought that God could cause the wind to blow in such a way to divide the Red Sea before them. I feel there was a difference. The vast majority of the children of Israel, those who rebelled against the Lord on that occasion, and Moses and perhaps a few other godly souls blessed with strong faith, they couldn't see how God could work. They couldn't see what God would do, but they believed that he would. They believed that he would, in one way or another, deliver them from the children of Israel, make a way for them, that they might go unto the promised land, that they might go forward. They come to this dead end. They come to this full stop. They come to this impossibility. They come to this metaphorical mountain. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, when God works, the mountains flow down at his presence. The valleys are exalted. The crooked things are made straight. The impossibilities are made possible. These are the wonders God alone can do. It's lovely, isn't it, when we read of Manoah and his wife, when the angel did wondrously before them. And I know there are some here tonight who also can testify of such times when, like Manoah and his wife, you've looked on and the Lord has done wondrously.
It is time for thee, Lord, to work, because there's nothing I can do, and there's nothing man can do. There's nothing anyone can do. But Lord, thou art able. Oh, that word in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him alone, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think. Even our thoughts can limit the Holy One of Israel. According to the power given to us, that power of prayer, that power of faith, it's a power of God who is omnipotent. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. I will cry unto God on high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Have we known a performing God? Have we witnessed on our behalf a performing God? Have we seen the Lord going before us in the way? Have we seen the Lord turning our captivity? Have we seen the Lord turning our sorrow into joy? Have we seen the Lord providing for us? Remember on that mount where Abraham was commanded to slay his son, Mount Moriah. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh. Does one need Jehovah Jireh tonight? The Lord will see. Well, the Lord does see. The Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere. His eyes are upon the whole earth, especially upon his people. Thou, God, seest me. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You need the Lord to provide. My every need he surely will supply. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, when God works. Is it Psalm 68 begins, let God arise. Let his enemies flee before him. Oh, when the Lord arises for his people. We take great encouragement from the book of Esther. It was a dark and evil day for the children of Israel. That wicked Haman had been promoted. He had that hatred against the children of Israel. Just like Satan has a hatred for God and his people. Haman had a special hatred for Mordecai, that man of God who refused to bow to that wicked man. Satan has a special hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And Haman sought to destroy him. And you think of the kingdom of Ahasuerus at that time, a vast kingdom. Was it 127 provinces stretching so far? And there were the scattered flock of the Lord's people. Then a death sentence. In every place. In every place. Where the children of Israel were to be found. They were to be destroyed. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. What I find perhaps most comforting and encouraging in the book of Esther. God's work. You'll understand me, was behind the scenes. It was behind the scenes. First of all, that Esther should be there. Nurtured by either her uncle or grandfather, it's not clear. After the death of her parents, for such a time as this, even then. And then the Vashti, the first queen, did as she did and was disposed, divorced. And then the king, as he was wont, sought another queen. And in that strange way, he went about it. Esther also was selected. And I feel sure dear Mordecai would have done his utmost to protect Esther from being taken. And when the courtiers came and took Esther away, I'm sure he was utterly distressed. Whatever would happen to Esther? Now, dear friends, we know the outcome. Mordecai didn't know. He had to let go. In a sense, he was forced to let go, just like Jacob was forced to let go of Benjamin. And sometimes we're forced to let go of things. And when we let go, may we, like Jacob and sure Mordecai, commit into the hands of God. As Esther was taken off, I feel sure Mordecai was back on his knees, committing her into the hands of God. And she was in the hands of God. It was God's work. And so events happened, and then that awful decree, that death sentence for the children of Israel. But already the Lord is at work. We have that one clause as it begins, chapter 5, I may be wrong. On that night could not the king sleep. Whether he suffered with sleepless nights, we must leave. But on that night, on that particular night, as things were coming to a head, and not only could he not sleep, he also would ask for the records of chronicles, the things which had happened. And it was a scroll. And it just happened that he read that particular account about Mordecai and those two who had sought to murder him, the king. And how Mordecai heard of it and reported the matter and really saved the king's life. God was at work in it all, still behind the scenes. On that night could not the king sleep. One thing led to another. And then the king thought of what should be done to such a man. Just at that point, Haman walks in. And as he tells these things to Haman, Haman thinks it's for him. Being such a proud man, he thinks it will be him. So he thinks it will be the absolute best. Go do so as the fellow said, even unto Mordecai the Jew. Haman would have been mortified. And then Esther going in unto the king. For who knows that thou art come unto the kingdom for such a time as this. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. It was God's work. She must go in unto the king. The golden scepter is held forth. The banquets are arranged. One thing leads to another. And then Esther pleads for the life of her people. The Lord had put her just there at that time. The right place and the right time. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. And that decree, which supposedly was unalterable, was altered. You see, whatever man does, God can change it. The heart of a king is in the Lord's hand, like rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And it's been a great comfort to believe the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand. Man can only go so far and no further. God can continue. Man can rule. God can overrule. Man can turn. God can overturn. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. We're living in very dark and evil days. And what we have to witness primarily is Satan's work all around us. He seems to be getting bolder and bolder and bolder. And the Lord's people appear to be diminishing. The Lord's people are certainly very poor, very needy. I do also fear to a greater part, not completely, but to a greater part, the Lord is hiding his face. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. We read in Job, thou hidest thy face and they are troubled. And if we are found amongst the Lord's people, we should be very troubled. Personally, collectively, in Zion, that the Lord is hiding his face. Is it Psalm 25, a dear psalmist, and oh, what a prayer it was. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Lord, return to me. Return to me. Again, from Psalm 102 we read together, we have a promise here. When the Lord shall build up Zion, when, not if, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will appear. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Again, it sets prayer before us. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Comes to mind Luke 18, that widow woman, the unjust judge, by her continual coming. We're not given a time scale. We're not told how many times that widow woman went unto the unjust judge. I mean, it could have been months. It could have been hundreds of times. We're not told, so we can't compare. But the Lord Jesus is setting forth this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You and I need ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up, but to continue to cry mightily unto God. It's a prayer of the destitute. Wasn't she destitute? In a sense, didn't the unjust judge despise her? For all the wrong reasons, he relieved her. For all the right reasons, the Lord will relieve his people. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Lord shall build up Zion. And he builds up Zion with converts, with souls born again, sinners saved by grace. And you see, everyone shall glorify God. God will be glorified. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. When the Lord shall build up Zion, there will be a godly increase. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Oh, we may despise our prayers. We may feel our prayers are so poor. We may fear that God will never hear, never answer our prayers. We feel to come so far short. He will not despise the prayer of the destitute. He will regard their prayer. Like Hannah, he regarded her prayer. Like Moses regarded her prayer. Oh, the prayers of the Lord's people. Those prayers in tears, those prayers in sighs, those prayers in groans. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, how we long to see the work of God. How we long to see when God works. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. I was rather struck in our opening hymn. See where it shines in Jesus' face, the brightest image of his grace. God in the person of his Son has all his mightiest works outdone. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Oh, to turn the captivity of his people, to build up Zion, to prosper his word, to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, how we long to see the works of the devil destroyed. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. I'll just leave you with this thought. Jonah, when made obedient, went to Nineveh, preached that thunderous sermon against them. Within 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. And they believed God. And they turned to God. They repented of their sins. And that command from the king, from him down to the beggar, and let everyone clothed in sackcloth and ashes cry mightily unto God. Do we know what it is to cry mightily unto God for the salvation of our never-dying souls, to obtain his mercy, to find grace to help in time of need, or to cry mightily unto God? For who can tell? I do tend to think, as Mordecai would have Esther go in unto the king, Who can tell? Who can tell what God will do? Who can tell when God will arise? Who can tell when God will help, send help, intervene, undertake, provide, perform, make a way in the sea, cause a mountain to flow down? It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for who can tell? Now, don't misunderstand how it's worded here. It is not dictating to God. It is not, as it were, demanding of God. Oh, it's crying mightily unto him with that single eye to his honour and to his glory. Well, in many, many ways do we not need the Lord to work in our hearts, to save us from our sins, to lead us forth by the right way, to be kept by the power of God. Or do we not long to see the work of God in others also called by grace? Do we not long to see a building up? Do we not long to see others also sent forth to preach? Or do we not long to see better days for the gospel? And in Zion, in the churches, and in the nation, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. Let thy work appear. Ah, let thy work appear. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Parish next Friday evening, next week. Let us close with hymn 180. 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory. All things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180.
June 6, 31. Lamb of God, we fall
May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.